Hey.
Hey. We're gonna wait for the other three to connect in 1 second. Oh goodness. Hey Cherie.
Hello.
Hey, I'm just waiting for Linnea and Erica to connect in.
Okay. Hi Cherie.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing? All is well.
One second. Hopefully they got the text. Let's see. Hey, Linnea.
Hey.
So Tisha and Cherie are here. We're just waiting for Erica to connect in. I'm going to give the topic just so our listeners know what we're going to be discussing tonight. So tonight we're going to be discussing single Black females 35 and over. And we'll dive in a second on this. Let me give her one more moment. Make sure I sent this to her correctly. Everybody good?
Yes.
Let's see. I just sent it to her again. Okay, so let's start off with backgrounds. Cherie, you can go first. Basically, if you can basically explain what your profession is and if you have any degrees of any sort.
Okay. All right. So I'm Cherie. I work in the social service field. I guess the category you would put me under. I do incident management, certified investigations for a nonprofit. I do have my bachelor's from Slippery Rock University, SRU, and that's how I met Lori.
Yes. Tisha, you can go next. Your background, your professional background, and any degrees you hold.
I am Tisha, 40. Background, my professional is in insurance, and I have a bachelor's degree in sociology.
All right. I think somebody's phone is a little noisy. Linnea, if you can go ahead.
Yes. So I am 35, about to be 36 in a month. And I am a public health social worker. I have a master's degree in public health and a master's degree in social work.
Okay. Erica, how about you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. I'm Erica. I am 32. My background is in business, and I have a master's degree in business.
And your professional, what you do for a living?
I'm in the business in the logistics field.
Gotcha. And Cherie, you didn't share your age. Do you not want to share your age?
I was just following your initial directives. But
oh, I'm sorry.
I would love you, like, my birthday is April the 13th. My nickname is
Keisha. No,
but I'm 39.
All right. Cool. Just in case you're not speaking, if you can mute your phone if possible, when you're not talking, it'll be easier for everyone to hear. If you can do so, that'll be great. All right, cool. So basically, like I said, the topic. Oh, it's kind of choppy, y'all. Okay, the topic for tonight again is single Black females, 35 and older. Even though we're making an exception for Erica tonight. There was a news story on Nightline that was interviewing about six Black females that they were all between the ages of 30 and 33. And they were discussing with journalist Lindsay Davis their singleness and the difficulties they found with being a single professional Black woman in America. At that time, statistics showed in 2009, 42% of Black women had never been married. In 2010, 25% of that 42% we're all over 35 years of age. So I can just imagine what the rate is now, being that we're in 2020. Just so you know, also right now, 5% of Caucasian American women are unmarried right now in the U.S., have never been married, I should say. So that's a huge difference for both races. Do you guys find it difficult right now to date or find a suitable mate? Don't forget you're muted. You have to unmute yourself. Yeah.
I'll say yes. I do. I've tried online dating, and every time I try, it's like a disaster. So it has been very hard, especially when you're not like an extrovert who goes out to bars and clubs and, you know, only really meeting people at church and the grocery store. It's kind of hard to meet people. And I'm, you know, even though I'm fine and everything, people are not walking up to me like, hey, can I get your number? Can I take you out? So it's been a challenge.
Yeah. How about the rest of you ladies?
It's been a challenge for me. This is Tish. It's been a challenge for me. Like Linnea said, I am an introvert. And so I'm not as outgoing and, you know, forthcoming when I go out. So nobody is approaching me. Nobody is. And so, yeah, it's hard. I just recently signed back up for online dating.
Oh.
So we'll see how that goes. But to add on to what Linnea said, I've had, and I can't even believe that I'm going back online dating again, because I've had so many traumatic experiences with that. But I said, I'll just give it a try, because it's not like anybody is going out having dates right now anyway. So yeah, online is for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Cherie, Erica, one of you want to chime in? Don't forget you're muted.
This is Erica. Yeah, so my answer would be kind of very similar to the other ladies. I do find it is difficult just with meeting guys and just, I think the biggest issue is just the leveling up of the guys, which makes it hard to meet the right guys.
Linnea, you said something about, you know, you said, I know I'm fine, but nobody comes up to approach me. And Tisha, you touched on a little bit of some of that something similar to that also. Do you think that some men are intimidated?
I honestly don't know. I have noticed that I get talked to more. And when I don't look as well together, which is very interesting. And I've tried to ask like a male friend, like, what is that about? But I got the response of, well, you want us to not look at your looks, but to, you know, look on what's inside. But I just think it's very interesting that I get more people trying to talk to me or initiating conversation when I have on like a bandana from working out. Or I don't have any makeup on and I'm just like in workout clothes or something like that. I just find it interesting.
Gotcha. Wow. Cherie, how about you?
I've gotten that response in regards to being intimidating. So I noticed one guy said, you know, you're very intimidating to approach you. And I'm like, well, I apologize for being intimidating. You know, he's like, you know, it's between, you know, the height, because I'm 5'11", and just more of my demeanor, you know. And then I just, and I like, not to say anybody else, but like, I was walk with confidence, right? So I'm always like,
yeah, I was going to say that you exude confidence, so
you
yeah.
know. And so he's like, and he's like, you know, you're pretty. I'm not sitting here and saying I'm the most beautiful woman in the world, but you know, he's like, and you're gorgeous, and it's intimidating, because like he will always say like, oh, when we gonna go out? And I'm like, you know, after a while, like, it gets annoying when you ask me when we gonna go out and you don't ask me out. I'm more of an action person as opposed to, you know, the verbal. It's not cute after a while. Like, it was cute the first time, maybe second time, third one. It's like, now at this point in time, you're annoying, right? Mm-hmm. And so I finally said it, because I know that I'm always cautious of how I respond, because I know that I can come off as harsh, you know what I mean? Because sometimes I'm just straight and direct to the point if I'm talking to a friend, right? Mm-hmm. And so I finally was like, well, you keep saying this to me. When are you going to take us out? Like, I'm confused. And he's like, well, you're very intimidating. Yeah. So I did ask a male friend, and he was like, yeah, you can be intimidating. He was like, you know, depending on the person, on the guy, you can be intimidating. It's just a simple fact, like you said, and all the things I just described earlier, those can be intimidating to a man. So I'm like, okay. You know, and then you get also, I'm not sure who else on this line gets the, you know, oh, smile, sis,
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't walk around with a smile 24 hours on my face, because if I did, I'd probably be like, get 302. Like, I hate that comment. Like, people are like, smile. I'm like, I'm not supposed to be smiling 24/7 while I'm walking down the street. Yes. Seriously, sir. Mm-hmm. I do have a beautiful smile. You are correct. But, so that is, it is. So I feel like that. I do feel like a lot of men do not approach me. And I've said that, and people are like, just shocked and surprised that they don't. Mm-hmm. And I think it is that intimidation factor in regards to it, because it is just the what I present, and it can be intimidating.
Now, you say you're about action, and this is a question for all of you. Would you approach a guy first, or are you old school and like, you know what, I'm gonna wait until they approach me?
I'll talk first and then move myself afterwards. So I am, I'm an intro and an extrovert. Okay, I'm an introvert. Like, I really just don't want to be like really talking for real. But if you put me in a crowd, you know, I'm going to yak my butt off, and you know, I can control the conversation or try to get a conversation. I'm a conversation starter, because I will start a conversation and have people start talking and walk away. I'm like, all right, I got it. Because mm-hmm. you know, I hate that dead air in there. But no, I have no problem approaching a guy, especially if it's something that I like, I see, I want, and I'm really finicky. So I'm already to the background where like I rarely am initially physically attracted to someone, right? Mm-hmm. That's just me. Like, I learned to get to like them, and then I'm like, oh, then you're more attractive. So I can do both. Mm-hmm. I will, if I see something that I like, I go get. And, you know, vice versa, I can just wait. I can sit and smile on the other end and look pretty until you come over and approach me. You know, so I'm meeting myself, though.
Yeah. How about the other three ladies?
I don't have a problem with approaching a man. I've done it in the past. Although, now that I'm sitting back thinking, when I have approached them, it didn't always work out well. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I don't have an issue with it, because like, if you see something that you want, then you just go ahead and pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
The younger me wouldn't have done that, though.
Do you think, what you're saying, the younger you wouldn't have done it, do you think the older you is doing it now more so because you're not being approached by the men themselves?
That as well as, you know, well, I'm getting older, and, you know, that sitting on the sidelines waiting for something to happen or for somebody to approach me, I just don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll approach them.
I would have to agree. I feel like in my 20s, I wouldn't really approach a man. Even if I was interested, I just kind of lay, you know, my personality is to kind of fall back and let them do their thing. Mm-hmm. And even now, you know, at 36, I would rather be pursued. I would mm-hmm. love to be pursued. But at the same token, I am 36 and, you know, tomorrow's not promised. And so at this point, I'm gonna shoot my shot. So mm-hmm. You know, in a respectful way, like, you know, hey, are you interested? But again, I think that also comes with age and confidence mm-hmm. in myself,
mm-hmm.
And okay with rejection and things like that, and mm-hmm. self-esteem that mm-hmm. goes into that as well with age. So I think it's a lot of things together, age, singleness, and, you know, just confidence, and being okay if the answer is no.
Gotcha. Yeah. I want to switch gears real quick, and I'm going to direct this to Erica first, and then I'll touch base with the other three ladies. We're going to discuss right now the biological clock. And Erica, you're the only one out of the five of us that actually has a child. Like, do you find it more difficult now trying to date while Black and over 30 with a child before, you know, that than when you were childless?
Yes, definitely. It's because of, more so my standards and needs have changed a lot. And, the single men out here don't quite meet that. So I think it's kind of, a huge issue in that sense.
Mm-hmm. The other three ladies, do you feel that now, because you're older, and if you desire children, do you feel like there's a race against your biological clock, or are you more so okay if that never happens for you?
Ooh, my answer is going to be, I hope it's not going to be long, So again, going back to my 20s, I had this plan that by 30, I was going to have the kids, the white picket fence, the husband, all of that. And then when I turned 30 and it wasn't, it didn't happen, I was completely devastated. Now that I am 40, I understand that, you know, plans change. Like, you know, we make plans, but ultimately God is in control.
Yes.
And so I have made peace with, before it was like, oh, I put the fact that I didn't have children over the fact that I wasn't married. Like, to be a mother was like top priority for me. Not that I've settled. I'm just like, okay, yeah, I understand my biological clock may be ticking, but my trust is in God. So if it's for me and he knows that that's my desire, it will be. So I'm no longer, before I was chasing after men in order to fulfill that dream that I had. And now it's just like, you know, I am resting in the fact that God got me. Basically, yeah. He got me.
Sheree or Linnea?
Biological clock. Yeah. No, I don't feel like for me personally, it's ticking. Yet, you know, I'm not sure either. So for me, my mom had me when I was older. So I settled on, in my mind, you know, everybody else, like you said, had plans, like by 20, I wanted to have this and family by, I was always wanted to be the late bloomer. So this is, I guess it should be ticking right now then, right? So talk to me, you know, in a year from now, but, yeah, thus far I have not, and that's just me personally. I haven't got the ticking yet in regards to it. Okay. Nor have I given up on the idea of having children and being married. I just want to make sure that everything is aligned with the right person. And I think that, you know, that's always key. You think you have the right person, but so that's just me right now at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when they, you have anything? For me, I think that it has been ticking. And it's very hard for me to kind of balance the piece of, like, you know, whatever's for me is for me. And if it'll happen, it'll happen. And then, but I've also, you know, I'm very open about my story. Like, I've also made a lot of mistakes rushing the process.
Yes.
And so with being with someone just out of loneliness and making the mistake of, you know, becoming pregnant, that wasn't the mistake, but, you know, having lost several pregnancies by men that I would rather have not have had a child with in the first place, but still wanting my children. And now I'm 36, single, you know. And it's like, I don't have any prospects, and nor do I'm facing the fact that, like, okay, will I have children here on earth with me or not? I mean, it is a thought right now, is will I be a mother? You know, my children are in heaven, but will I raise children here? I'm not sure. You know, I've desired to be married since I was in my 20s, and, you know, it's hard. It's hard to balance, you know, that desire with, okay, you've rushed and made bad choices because of that in the past. So just be still and let God, you know, or let whatever happen. But it's also hard not to try to make things happen on my own. But it's a hard, I'm on the fence. It's a hard juggle.
I think I definitely agree with you, because the one thing we both have in common is we both lost, well, I lost a child, you lost children. However, I think that I was reading a book earlier by an author named Barbara Roos, and she was calling it The Waiting Room, and how single women, we tend to hate the waiting room, because if you think about it, if you're at a hospital, if you're in that waiting room, you see women coming in pregnant, going into delivery, or you see women coming out of the hospital after delivery, going home with their children. And while we're still stuck in that waiting room looking out, like, when is it going to be my turn? Like, when are they going to call my name? And I think it resonated with me this morning, because I realized sometimes the waiting room is just that stillness you referred to. And it's, how can we be comfortable and complacent in that stillness? And right now, especially with dating, like Tisha, you just said earlier that, you know, you're starting online dating again. And to me, this is the perfect time for that, if that's what you choose, because again, you get to know somebody for them right now with this pandemic. You can't really go out and meet nobody. You know what I mean? So it's going to be dialogue, but at the same time, you're in your own waiting room. And it's like, while you're in that stillness, like just finding that peace in the stillness, knowing that God is hiding you for better or greater. And that's where I am right now. I'm just like, you know what? Like, I'm newly single. I'm like, God, just hide me until you're ready for him to see me. Because I asked you guys the question of, would you approach somebody? Because that was me. I was always the approacher, the aggressor, like, oh, he's fine. I got to say something to him. But then I became the long-term girlfriend. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to be more than that. So I need to change up the things I did in my past to get to a better present and future. Would you guys consider dating outside your race? I know I'm attracted to Black men. I've dated one Spanish guy in high school. That was it. But it's just nothing like a Black man to me. I mean, I don't know for you guys, but some women choose, you know, now because being older, some women choose to date outside their race now. Is that the case for you guys?
I will date somebody outside of my race. I will.
Really? I wouldn't have thought you would have said that.
I will. And maybe it's because the whole I'm getting older, and I don't want to say the selections are few, but yeah, I am willing to. I don't want to miss an opportunity for something good. And I love Black men. I love Black men. And at the same time, I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to say, okay, my eyesight, this is what I'm only focused on, and I miss something else over here. Like, mm-hmm. I want to keep it open. I'm going to keep my options open.
Have you been approached by someone else out of your race?
Of course, online. You know, you get the crazies online.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah.
But, talking about Africans and, you know, Jamaicans and stuff like, yeah. So, yeah, I have.
Okay. Now if you're breaking it down to Africans and Jamaicans, that's a little different. I mean,
my whole life.
Yes. That's a little different. I've dated Africans and Jamaicans, but yeah, I mean, I actually categorize them in the Black category for me, but yeah. Yes, but I was more so leaning towards like the Caucasian, Asian persuasion. Yeah. Any of you other ladies, have you dated outside your race?
Me? I have.
Any of you?
I'm not opposed to it, but I love Black men. So, you know, I can entertain a conversation and a drink, you know, and a dinner. But I dated a Black in the East. That's my ignorance. Because he was Black and Chinese. Yes. So Black and East. Yes. But my preference is a beautiful kind of African American.
Okay. How about the rest of you?
I'm open to any race. And I really haven't seriously in the past. So just been pretty much Black men, but I'm definitely open.
Lamia?
I agree with the rest of the ladies. Like, I would love, like, the darker the better. But yeah. at this point in time, I love what sis said about, like, I'm not going to block nothing. Like, if he's going to treat me right, and you know what I mean, love me the way I need to be loved and put a ring on it, then listen.
But do you think that's settling?
Maybe.
Let me say it like this. Like, because we can go into another segment. This is like on requirements and criteria. Like when you were in your 20s, what's the difference between your criteria and requirements that you want to end a mate then opposed to now? Because now I hear you saying you're not opposed to dating someone outside your race as long as he's going to treat you right and put a ring on it. But do you think that's settling and you really still wanted a Black man, but because this man is treating you well and the Black men are not approaching you, you're settling for this person?
I think I like, I don't know who said, you know, which one of us said it, but I don't want to block. Sometimes what I want is different from what God has for me. And so I wouldn't necessarily say for me that it's settling. I would just say that, you know, what God has for me might look different than what I assumed or what I thought it was going to look like. Yeah. And so I just want to be open to that. But I would love for God, you know, if I was sending up a prayer to God, he would be a chocolate African king and, you know, that did not want me to be barefoot and pregnant with a master's degree. But, you know, if that's what I desire, but I also am open to whatever God is like, okay, this is going to look different, but he knows what's best for me. So I wouldn't necessarily call it settling, but yeah, I'm open. I'm more open than I was 10 years ago.
Yeah, and that's the thing for me too. I wouldn't call it settling. It was just, I was just being stubborn. Not stubborn, but just like in this, had this, I was stuck in a box. Like, this is what I want. This is the only thing that I want. And I had unrealistic expectations from a partner. I had a whole list, you know, a list of this, that, and other. But now, for me, I think I've matured enough to say, okay, I'm going to open myself up to whatever comes or whatever may be out there. But I don't look at it as settling.
Gotcha. Now, as far as the requirements or criteria you had in your earlier years, how does it differ now? Like, what are certain things that you don't care about anymore? I know for myself, in my early 20s, I used to say, oh, I don't want to date anybody with any children. Now I'm 3 years from 40. I mean, the odds of that are very slim to none. So, you know, and I think sometimes too, some of our criteria requirements for a mate can be a little shallow at times. So how does it differ for you guys now opposed to then?
Well, for me, the child, to not have any children, that was a big thing for me. But like you said, now to find someone who doesn't have any children is rare. So that's one of the things that I'm like, I know I had a list, but I'm trying to go through it now. Y'all can continue to talk and let me think about
it. So for me, my list not really changed. I didn't have that big, long list. I knew there were, like, you know, those five things that I was looking for, like someone who had a relationship with Jesus is on my list, right? It heightens the preference, like that. Like I said, for me, that physical thing was not always on my list. It was somebody who was goal oriented, someone who was driven. You know, education is a high priority for me. That's because I grew up with what my father made and, you know, instilled in me. But I don't always believe that education is always the right route. You know what I mean? Because we have people who are skilled laborers. You know, you have people out here who are entrepreneurs. But for me, it was like somebody that was employed, right? And was on a career path of whatever that industry may be. So my list has always still remained the same. You know, like, and you know, you could throw on your little wish list, like, oh, let him be tall, chocolate. Like, you know, that's a preference, but it's like, that is not on my list for somebody that I need to date and be in a relationship with. So I personally still have those five things that's on there, and it's the same thing from when I was 18 to 25 to 30, and now I just turned 39, and it's still on a list. So it's not a big list, right? Because like I said, for me, I don't always really sit looking for the physical aspects of it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not a big spender. I'm always like, all right, I've always had my own money, if that kind of makes sense, and that's not in reference to this, but it's like, I had this, I know what I want, and I can spend this, I can do this. It's just like, what can you add to, what value can you add to me? And that's the big thing for me. If you're not adding any value to my life, then you will not be in my life. And that goes for me, like, Laurie knows, like, I'm talking to someone, and I'm like, I need you to add value to it. If you're not adding the value to me and me being able to grow spiritually, you know, and help me achieve my goals and help you achieve your goals too as well, then I can't sit here and allow you to claim me as your girlfriend. You know what I mean? Or even take it to the next level of being a wife or being, you know, having kids with you. So it's no growth for me if you're not allowing me to grow, and you, and I can't, and I myself too as well. So my accountability as well. So if I can't add growth to you too as well, then there's no reason for us to talk. That's one of the reasons why I'm single today. You know, like I've talked to people throughout the years, and you know, I'll nip it in the butt if I don't see like it's growing to where I need it to grow. Then I could just nip it, and I can either keep you as a friend, you know, or I can keep you as a friend, you know.
Mm-hmm. What kind of friend? No, we about to get real. But real quick, no, wait, real quick, Erica, I'm sure your requirements have changed, being that now you have a child, and Nateri is what, 4 now?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so I'm sure, you know, in your 20s, you were more lax with your requirements, but now being that you have a child, can you go into more so what you're looking for in a mate? For both of you.
Yeah, the biggest thing is the trust issue. Like, you know, being able to trust a guy just around my child type of thing. And also just as he's got to be mentally compatible with me, and also be mentally compatible as being a parent, and just a good citizen of life and in the world or whatever. So that's kind of the tip I'm on. It's very difficult to find. Because I find that most men, they on their own wave, and they don't normally try to be compatible with their mate, because they're just used to being on their own wave, and their mates used to just get on their wave. So I think that's a huge issue that I see.
Yeah. I want to segue into sex right now, since Sharitha, we was going to keep it PG, and we're not going to keep it PG. Do you feel that sex is a huge criteria with dating for you? Like, with, you know, trying to find a mate, do you feel that you have to give it up when dating someone? I know some of us on here are now practicing abstinence, so I just want to see what your thoughts are.
There's always that pressure.
I feel like it's an extra barrier.
It's always that pressure, and I think it's just natural, because you know, we were not meant to be alone. We were built to have this physical intimacy with some, you know, with another person, and some of us have, you know, chose not to, you know, and some of us choose not to. So for me, it will vary. I've dated guys 9 months and not been intimate with them, because I chose not to, because I didn't want to get into, I feel like when you put that intimate piece in there, things kind of, if that makes sense. So for someone who I think I really want to like be in a relationship with, I have held off and not had been intimate with them for a while, because that way you can kind of get to know each other. You don't have that piece in there. I feel like once you become intimate, you do have that kind of like that emotional connection type thing. But I will say, as you get older, obviously, you know, it is more pressure to you to be more intimate sooner than when you were younger. It was like,
You think so? I think it was more pressure younger than older to me.
Older. Maybe.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm newly single, and I was in a relationship for 5 years, so this is all new to me.
You
so,
know why I'm saying that, because when you get older, you like just listen. Is either we going? I mean, you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Younger is like you can still do the little cuteness and flirt and.
And oh, gotcha.
But it's
mm-hmm.
like, all right, I'm 35. Is we going to fuck or not? Like, but it.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm saying. Even now, like I said, that, and that was more recent, where it was somebody where I'm able to just hold off.
Wow, well, you putting it like that, I don't know who I'm going to be dating then. Cause...
Well, so for me, I had a situation where I started dating a guy, and so I am practicing abstinence. So I told the gynecologist, listen, this it's not happening. We're not having sex. I have no intentions on having sex with you. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. I guess he thought he was going to change my mind. Yes. And so, you know, I never put myself in a situation where I would, you know, try to lead him on or think that he was going to get that from me. But in the long, like in the end, he still wound up just like basically just going AWOL, no calling. No, he didn't go AWOL. He said, listen, I can't deal with this. I can't do this because I'm grown. I ain't got time for this. I'm a grown man. I don't have time to be going home masturbating when I could be having sex with you. Like, yeah, I've had men just flat out tell me this. I don't have time for that. So again, that goes back to why dating is so hard for me, because you know, we live in a sexual world. I'm sorry, we do, and I understand it. And so trying to find somebody who is on the same page as me is very hard. It's hard.
I would agree. I feel like it's an extra layer of a barrier that makes it even more difficult when you're trying to abstain, because it's like, where do you even find, you have to be up these days, you have to be upfront about it. Because if not, you know, and when you're upfront about it, it's like you get this awkward, like, okay, you know, how to even find a man, a black man, and then a black man who's willing to wait. Jesus.
That's tough. You know what, and that brings me to religion also, with intertwined with sex, because being that you just said, Linnea, how it's difficult to find a black man and then a black man that will basically abstain is tough. It's crazy how because I've dated people in the church also, but it's crazy how to me they were the people I dated in church were kind of worse than the guys I met out in the street. And it's sad to be like that, but it's like that was the realm that I thought would accept me for me and accept the fact of how I want to live my life, and it was the total opposite. And I'm like,
yeah, I had a church guy tell me, ain't nobody got time for that.
Wow. Yeah, that's difficult. And like, do you feel that in your criteria or requirements that you definitely want to be with somebody that's equally yoked? Or has that now gone away from you and you're like, look, as long as he treats me good, I'm
gotta
straight.
Be equally yoked.
Oh no.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because some people will
gotta be equally yoked. Oh, you know your life is gonna be like in
shit. Yeah, definitely. Yep. That's good. Okay, because I just like, want to make sure that didn't lead the list.
Nobody else is visiting out there, you know. But like, I have a cousin who now like is living with somebody, right? And you know, she was all in, you know, she's really into church, whatever. But he eventually moved in. And then, like, you know, year one, year two, you know, you went to year three. And then, like, she went to, one, have him move out the house, right? Because she's feeling like, I cannot commune with God. I cannot have a connection with God if I continue to feel myself living in this sin and we're living together. But because they are unequally yoked, he's not understanding that. He's like, I don't know. I don't get what you're saying. You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean about that? Right.
Yeah.
And so that's where I say that woman being unequally yoked in regards to it. No, you said you can still have somebody, somebody who's in the same religion. So I don't know, sure, everybody is, you know, who's on the line is, if they're a Christian or not, whatever religion you practice. But you can have somebody, and like you just said, you dated somebody in church and they're going to say, I ain't got time for that, not having sex. Well, you know better, right? You know what I mean? If we're both in the same religion, like, you know better in regards to what I'm talking about in regards to it. Yeah. But it's the same thing. I can't. That's definitely on top of the list. That was the first thing I said. You have to have a actual, and not going to church. You know what I mean? I believe in going to church because I feel like that's a place where you can meet with other people and you can grow. But I'm talking about having a personal relationship, daily talking to them, praying to them, you know, worshiping them, that type of thing. And but I feel like if you're unequally yoked, it does not work out. Now, I do know people who are unequally yoked, meaning somebody who's a Christian and a Muslim, marriage worked out for years. But I'm just saying, me personally, no.
If you don't believe in something, how about that? How about I put it that way? If you don't believe in something, because if you don't believe in nothing, what you living for? You know what I mean? Because I feel like if you don't believe in something, yeah, you can fall for anything.
Yeah. I definitely need my mate to be a Christ follower, though, for me now. I think that I realized in my past relationships that I've given up certain things that I wanted, you know, out of a mate and mm-hmm. to make their lives happier. And mm-hmm. all the while, I was miserable. But mm-hmm. I continued to smile on the outside, but inside, I kept saying to myself, like, Lori, this isn't you. Lori, this is not what you desired. You know, I found myself asking God for forgiveness countless times because here it is. One day I'm just dating this guy. The next minute, now we're living together. You know what I'm saying? It's like everything that I said that I wanted, you know, whether it was having a child out of wedlock. I mean, we lost a child now, but at the same time, that wasn't how I saw my life. And I tend to be a person that tries to make sure everyone else is happy and a people pleaser. So now that's what I'm kind of like, I'm cool right now with God hiding me because I'm learning to know exactly what I want and who I am before I even entertain anyone else. But I guess along the lines too, and that Dateline clip that I had posted and I sent to some of you, whatever, Steve Harvey made a comment at the end to these ladies about their biological clocks. And he told them, and I don't agree with this, but he told them, oh, just date older. He was like, you know, we don't have a biological clock, so you can date an older man. We're more mature when we're older. So just date older, you'll be okay. And I didn't like that because that's not factual. I've met older men that are worse than the younger ones.
Because like, there's been a lot of men who have told me that. A lot of men have told me that. You know, it's older. Weird. So, you know, like, you know, sometimes like I'll catch public transportation to get to work, right? You know, sometimes. And, you know, like you kind of build that rapport where we're talking to like a bus driver, whatever the case may be. And it's always been like, you know, a male bus driver, because, you know, why not? Let it be a male, right? Mm-hmm. Me sound like a whore over the side, right? But they were older and, you know, just talking, right? In a daily routine, talking. You a stranger, you don't know me, so let me just tell you all my business. And they will always say date somebody older. They were like, the people that you're dating, your age bracket, he was like, you need to date somebody older, right? So let's say I was like 35. He was like, you need to date somebody 40 to 45. He was like, because, and don't get me wrong, you know, there are going to be people who are immature in each age level bracket, regardless, male or female, right? Mm-hmm. But I've always heard it. It's always women and have always told me you need to date somebody a little older because they have already, here you go, they've already learned their life experiences. They've already burnt somebody else. They already burnt another female already. So she already, you know, like you learned, they learned from all their experiences. So now they know what they want. Either they're going to continue to want to be this player, continue to want to just date, or they know that they want to be married. And I do find that, you know, for me personally, the men who haven't been in that older bracket have, and those aspects that either they know what they want, so either they want to continue to date, either they know they want to be married, or they just want to have a forever girlfriend.
Well, I think that in that regard, I think older men will be upfront and honest, but at the same time, in this day and age, some of the older men I see, it's not like olden days when you saw older men really carrying themselves well and like the younger men actually having men to look up to. I don't feel that this mm-hmm. our age group and younger, I really don't feel like they have that male role model like Steve Harvey might have had, you know what I mean, in his life that they'll have now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like, I feel like some of the older men are still trying to keep up with the young ones. And it's like, why? Like, even with dressing and stuff, like, you know, when I was growing up, my grandpa, he used to always have a suit on or always have, remember when briefcases, he always carried a briefcase. I mean, not saying we're in that day and age now, but you don't even have some men trying to look presentable half the time. Like, I don't want to see your pants hanging off your butt all the time. Well, like, I don't want you having to walk outside looking like your 20-year-old son. Like, no, that's not attractive to me.
Well, question, was Steve Harvey saying date an older man why was he saying date the older man? Because
he was talking about the biological clock.
Okay, that's but see, the other side of that is, by the, if you are a young woman who dates an older man, he's already had his children. So
exactly,
you trying to deal with a guy who's older, he's like, I don't want to have any more kids. My kids are 20.
That's exactly why I said I don't agree with him, because you're telling these women, oh, and these women were all between 30 and 33. So that's like telling us now over 35, like, oh, just date an older man. Some of these older men are age, they grandfathers now.
54. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that was a desire. You know, I told him, you know, I'm up front. So this is what I want. I want a family to do. And then as we, like, continue to talk or whatever, he's like, well, I don't want to have what you want. Then I would not mind having more kids. But I personally don't want to have any more. But I would, you know, and I was like, oh, that was interesting for you to say that, you know.
Wow.
I don't know, Pop Pop, though.
Because
your daughter is actually your daughter was like actually my age. So that was a little weird.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping and praying that, especially with me walking in singleness now, that it's not going to be as difficult as my eyes see it right now. I'm hoping that my faith walk will help me to, you know, meet somebody, hopefully not anytime soon. Cause again, I'm just all about me and Jesus right now, but I hope in all of our lives that, you know, if it's our desire to actually be with somebody, I hope, you know, Erica, I hope you find a suitable mate for you and that's like-minded with you and your child and, you know, Linnea, whatever, and Tisha, whatever, and Cherie, whatever you're looking for, I'm hoping that you can find that. I know so many amazing Black, professional, beautiful women, and I thought about it when I was, like, inviting you all to be a part of this conversation. I'm like, yo, like, I really know a lot of single Black women, and it's crazy that we're all at this age now, and we're all still single, and we all have like great careers, but it's like, where's our forever? Like, I don't know. And I know I hear church women always say like, oh, I'm gonna get my Boaz and I can't wait and this and that. And I don't want a Boaz though. That was Ruth's man. I want my own. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. We only know the good qualities Boaz has because that's what the Bible talks about. But Boaz had his issues too, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I don't want him. I want whoever God has for me, but at the same time, I want to make sure that it's right and that I don't have to give up certain, I don't want to say requirements, but just certain dreams and certain, like how I'm such a helpless romantic and you know, like Tisha, you said like, oh, you thought by 30 you would have this and that, and child, we all were there because you couldn't tell me, I used to say, oh, I'm graduate college at 22 or 21, and by 25, I'm gonna be married. 26, I'm gonna have my first child. Girl, please. Mm. Like, some years flew by, and now I'm looking back, like, what happened? Yeah. Like, where did it go? Because life is just speeding by, and it's like we're trying to play catch up now. But again, I really hope, I mean, I hope we can do this part two or three of this podcast one day, and all of our lives have changed drastically in a different way. I hope to find some single Black men, because I do want to do a part two of this and include all five of us, and hopefully some guys also, to get their opinions and takes on things, because it would be interesting to see the dynamic of what they have to say, because a lot of, especially Black men, they think we're angry at times. And like Cherie, how you mentioned like the guys like, oh, smile sis or whatever, like, is we don't have to always have a smile on our face, but that don't make us seem like we're mean, though. I mean, I know sometimes I might have that resting bitch face, like, leave me alone, but I'm actually thinking about something else. Like, it's not that I'm trying to be mean. It's just, you know, you just don't know what somebody's going through daily. But hopefully we can dialogue with some gentlemen soon and see, you know, what they have to say. So, yeah, thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. Does anybody have anything else to add before we hang up?
No, I'm good.
Mm. Y'all good?
Yeah. I'm good.
It's a great conversation. Thank you, lady.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Well, be safe. Wash your hands. Wash your behind. Stay in the house. For real. I need everybody to survive right now. So, all right. I love you guys. And I'll
love you. Later. Love all you. Right. Thank you.